This podcast is brought to you by...
Shall we begin?
In today's high-tech, fast-paced world, you need a wonderful website to promote your business. You have a vision of how you want it to look, but you need someone with the skills to design it. Isn't it comforting to know that David Web Designs not only has the experience to create a professional site, but he's ready and willing to listen to your ideas and suggestions? He'll work with you every step of the way, until you're happy with the final design. That's davidwebdesigns.com. Don't just dream about the perfect website. Get it with davidwebdesigns.com.
Let's unstrap your bra, draw the bath, and get ready to get unleashed. Liz Stone.
I know it's your first time. I'll be gentle, I promise.
Don't put it in there, though. It'll hurt.
David Allen.
I think I can probably keep it up that long.
See, you're a young man. You can keep it up. I was like, what the hell? How about the picture of her with an avocado on her? I think we're going to have fun together, you and me, aren't we?
Now you're getting in the mood for Unleashed.
Coming back to you with more energy than ever.
Tonight, we have Marty Gold Cummings with us. Hi, Marty.
Oh, my God. I've never heard of her. Who is that?
You have not. I'm Liz Stone. I'm the one who is in love with your last name, Cummings. It's just like everybody's dream.
I dress like an ugly woman 6 days a week. Nobody wants me. I don't know what to do about it.
Sister, I dress like a beautiful woman, a goddess, you know?
You're a goddess and I look like a Kentucky Derby contestant. That's what I feel like.
We should hang out. We could help each other. You know, I'm sure you have your following and I have mine, and we could mix it up a little bit, right?
We can mix up. What's your following? Mine is a bunch of twinks at our bottoms, so we would just scissor sister together all night long. Hit me graciously, but I won't give names, but there's a politician and I had a fling with or whatever, but you know, it died down very quickly because I thought my career was I'm too famous for him, you know, it's too big. So I let it go.
As you've met my co-host, believe it or not, she really is a biological woman I know you can't tell by the sound, but you've seen what I've seen.
I'm very happy to be on the phone with you. I'm currently, as we speak, gluing my eyebrows down with Elmer's purple glue stick, washable glue stick from the Rite Aid to make myself look like a glamorous creature of nightlife. I need a soft lighting. I need a Valencia filter on Instagram for my look. It'll be good.
I have 2 hours to come up with some black songs. I'm going to work on that.
Some black songs. Liz, I think we can help him with that.
Are we talking about how far back in history are we going with the black songs? Is that something contemporary? Or are
Liz, he said black dong, not song.
Black dong? Oh, what? Oh, okay.
I'm super some black dong, too. I'm totally fine with that.
Tell us what New World Stages in New York is for those of us that don't have a clue.
I love New World Stages. I've been going to show there for almost 4 years. It will be 4 years in May, which is, like, crazy to me that, you know, that's a long time to do a nightlife show. It's an all-star theater complex. Avenue 2 currently plays there. Rent was there for a long time. It's a great venue. They have like 5 or 6 theaters that they play all-star musicals at. And then they have this great lounge area that they do nightlife shows. And there's so much good talent there. Alexis Michelle does a show there. Sutton Lee Seymour does a show there. These are great New York queens who are friends of mine who I love. But I've been doing a show there for 4 years. And the show started with my friend Kelly King. We did a show together. And it was a variety show. And then a couple months ago, we went in a different direction and we decided, they said, what do you want to do for the show now that you're coming up on 4 years? What's like your dream show that you want to do? And I said, so why not have a talk show? So my friend Michael LaMassa teamed up with me and it's kind of like a mix of like Carol Burnett and Bette Midler at the bathhouse meets like Jimmy Fallon, you know, and it's a lot of fun. We've had, we just had Cheyenne Jackson the other day as a guest, who is like the sexiest man alive. He's so sweet. Do you all know Cheyenne Jackson? He's like Dreamboat.
Yes,
we had him and we had Paris Hilton on the show right before he left to do Big Brother in England, which was a lot of fun. I know Paris for a long time and I kind of watched him on the show to dish some dirt and gossip about people, but he had nothing but nice things to say about everyone. He was such a gentleman and he was so sweet. And then this weekend we have Annie Golden, who's in Orange is the New Black.
So basically you're doing a talk show on stage. Is that how this is kind of?
Yeah, it's a live talk show. We have a live audience.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, It's really great. We play games with them. Like we'll play like a Pictionary game or charades and make them like, you know, I'll tell them that they're not singing and then surprise them and they have to do a duet with me.
Oh wow.
Which is
cool.
Yeah, it's just like a lot. It's a lot of fun. And then we will ask them. We literally ask them anything. Like I tell them before they come on, like there's no limit to what we'll ask you. And the guests are great. They roll with that because it's fun. We make it a fun, safe environment. You know, the audience has a good time. And I like it. I get to. I'm the center of attention with famous people.
After we heard all this about you, what is the biggest misconception about you that people don't understand?
The biggest misconception. What is the biggest misconception? My alter ego, my persona, is not me. I think people think because, you know, I say offensive things on stage or raunchy things or, like, whatever. That's not me. You know, I am an actor playing a role of an ugly woman. You know what I mean? Like, who says whatever the fuck I want. When I'm at a drag, if I'm, I'm walking down the street at Whole Foods, I'm not going to tell, you know, a black joke or a dick joke. You know, it's not appropriate. But if I'm on stage, you know, it's comedy and it's nothing to me is off limits. Nothing is off limits, you know? It's like Joan Rivers used to say, if we took everything so seriously, what's the point?
Right, true.
So I think the biggest misconception is people like, well, you know, I'm obviously, you know, I have a very active sex life and I love all people. But in the show, you know, the character is whatever it is, you know, and I'll make fun of everything. And I think, you know, if I make like, you know, I don't know, a Bobby Christina joke in a week, people will be like, oh my God, that's so, it's like, whatever. It's like, we have to laugh. It's horribly tragic what's going on, but you have to laugh at stuff in life or we'll take it too seriously.
Well, look at Horror. Speaking of Zachary Quinto, I mean, he was in American Horror Story, which is fabulous. But he did the horror genre, but the writers interjected humor. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to handle it. It's just, it becomes so dark and overwhelming.
You have to laugh at stuff. I make fun of myself more than I make fun of anything else. But if I make, you know, I make jokes about literally every type of person, every race, every religion, every genre of humanity, every tragedy, every funny thing that's happened, because that's my job. That's my job is to be a comedian. But I think the misconception is people think like, oh, you think 9/11 is funny. No, I don't. But if I make a 9/11 joke or a Malaysian Airlines joke or a Bill Cosby joke, that's to take a situation that's completely intense and scary and take the fear out of it so we loosen up a little bit, you know?
It kind of helps us to get control over it a little bit, I think.
I think if I don't make a joke about, you know, 9/11, terrorism wins because they took away free speech. You know what I mean?
I think
it's like we need to laugh at these things that are horribly tragic or we'll go around being miserable all the time. And I really learned that, you know, watching the Joan Rivers documentary. Whenever I get a heckler, I go home and I turn on Joan Rivers documentary and it reminds me that, like, my job is shock comedy. I'm a comedian. I'm not here to cure cancer. I'm not here to save your life. I'm here to make you laugh and forget the problems that you had in your day. You had a bad day? I don't mind you laugh with me, but... You know, to go with the misconception thing, I think people sometimes might think, like,
right,
to not, like, offend somebody. If you're offended, why should it not for you? You know what I mean? Like, it's not for you, and it's not for everybody. But I love what I do, and there's enough people that like what I do to let me have a career. But I think the misconception is, you know, like, comedians and drag queens, we're actors. We're playing a part. I'm very insecure, very sensitive. You know.
And why have you chosen the ugly woman look? Because it's interesting. You keep repeating that. I usually think, you know, drag queens, they have these big, beautiful, glamorous looks. Is that part of your shtick? I mean, are you kind of like poking fun
really,
at something?
I don't think I'm really.
I'm sure. No, you
ugly,
are not. I've seen you. You're a good looking person.
Oh,
I just, when you keep saying
you.
I dress as an ugly woman, I'm just trying to figure out what you know what's at the bottom of that. Is it just
well,
part of your?
What I say in my show is like my look is not. You know, a lot of people with Drag Race on the air. They RuPaul's Drag Race, they think like all drag is like, you know,
right.
Woman thing. I'm not a female I'm a drag queen, but I'm not a female impersonator.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's fair enough. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, like what I don't know. I make a joke that I look like, you know, my side job is pulling the carriages in Central Park and the horses need a break, you know? Like that's what I do. You wanna see me, I'm appearing at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, I'll be pulling the Budweiser truck, see what the other side feels, you know? And it's just a joke. It I always say the joke, you know, when I do an out-of-town gig, I'm New York's ugliest man playing New York's ugliest woman. But it's just a joke because, like, my character is very, you know, I have these giant, I draw these giant lips on, you know, my contour looks like bruises. My mom hates my lips. She's like, you look terrible. Why would you do, why would you draw your lips like that? I was like, I'm a you know, I'm not going to be, I think these drag queens who are beautiful and stunning, they are beautiful and stunning, and there's a place for that in drag. But my place in drag is to be goofy and silly and you know, the whole Kentucky cheese. And that's
why I think most people, they consider drag, just as Liz said, is the misconception about drag is that you have to be beautiful and glamorous. But drag to me is basically, you know, you mock the ego, and the ego hates drag because of that. You know, so like you said earlier, a persona, and it's you know, it's not who you are, it's what you do.
It's a character. It's a character, you know. There's I think the beautiful thing about drag, why I love being a drag queen, is that the beautiful thing about drag is there's no definition to me. There's no definition. You can put on, you know, just draw a freckle on your face, and if you call it drag, that's drag. You know, you put on, you go to the office during the day, you wear a suit and tie, that's your office drag. You're in drag. You go to the coffee shop, you work at Starbucks, you put on your green apron, that's your barista drag. You're putting on your version of drag. You know, there's no definition to drag. It is anything you want it to be. And my version of drag is my version. And, you know, whoever else is their version. And that's what I love about drag, because no, it's like snowflake. No drag queen is the same. They're all different. And that's what I love about it. There's no definition. You don't have to color inside the lines. And I like that.
Right. How does your parents react to your style? Like, not so much drag, but your style.
My parents, you know, the first time they saw my show, they were like, oh, that's a little incorrect. It's a little raunchy. But my parents just came to a show in Philadelphia, and I made a joke. I said, oh, I'm a bottom. And I looked in the audience. I was like, oh, my God. And I looked at my parents, and I said, Mom, do you want to know what a bottom is? And she's like, what? And I said, the bottom's what you are with Dad wants to know. And they thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And the audience was like, my parents, it's like, it's just a good joke, right?
I bet Thanksgiving is something else at your house.
My parents know it's a character. You know, they're very aware of it, and they know that I'm never gonna, like, you know, sit at the Thanksgiving table and say, Mom, remember that time Dad, you know, like, they would not, you know, I would never.
Whoa.
Do that Thanksgiving. But they know, and they're good sports, and they're big fans of drag, and they're big fans of mine. And the greatest thing, you know, my parents have given me the greatest lesson that I think I've ever learned, which is to unapologetically be yourself no matter what. And it's not my business what other people think of me, and that I know who I am, and I know what I'm about, and that's what matters. And my parents taught me that. And so when I have those moments of insecurity or those moments of fear, like, did the audience hate me? Did they love me? You know, this, that, or the other, I go back to what my parents taught me. Was I a good person? Am I a good person? Do I treat others the way I want to be treated? Did I do my job?
Well, you know, and that's the thing, like I say to Liz all the time, her and I, we frequently talk about this, and people who have really opinions about us are really just passive-aggressive people begging to be ignored, you know, and that's just the way it is to me. I don't, what other people think of us is none of our business, pretty much.
Yeah, well, you know, Bianca Del Rio says it best, you know, she makes a joke in her show, she says, everybody has a opinion, the kid in Guatemala, you know, she says, this kid in Guatemala sent me an email, she goes, I didn't even know you had an internet in your nut. You know, it's such a good joke. It's because, you know, everybody has an opinion. So the thing is, like, you know, when people are hiding behind, like, the internet or whatever, and they write a message about you, they don't know who you are, really. Or if somebody heckles you during the show, they don't know who you really are. But you have to outweigh, you know, I can have a show with 500 people in it, and there's 499 people who love the show, and that one person doesn't like it, I'll focus on that one person. But then I have to remember, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. 499 people like the show.
Liz, who would you interview?
Oh, let's see. Well, you got me on the spot for that one. Living or dead, you're telling me? Anybody at all?
Anybody.
Orville Redenbacher, man. That'd be cool. It's so random, I know. I'm like, dude, you know, well, so what makes you pop? That's how I'd start the interview.
What?
No, I'm just pulling it out of my ass because I can.
I think I want to go to Crawford and find out about the wire hangers. See if that's a real thing.
Oh, my. How about it?
I think her daughter made the whole thing up.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No more wire hangers. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
one.
She made the whole thing up.
That little bitch.
Why would she? Why do you think that, though, the little bitch?
You know, it's the same thing. You know, Shirley MacLaine's daughter just came out with a book about her mom saying the same thing. And it's like, you're taking these women. You wanted to be an actress. You didn't make it. Jealousy ate you alive because your mother's a legend.
True.
And you want to make a buck. You want to make a buck off of it.
Huh.
I can see that.
Wow.
I can see. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of made-up things in the world, though. Honestly, like, you know, talking about Bill Cosby, you know, all of a sudden, 30 years later, we're going to decide to come out about him. Doesn't make any sense.
Do you believe the accusations? Do you believe the accusations about it?
I do not, actually. I don't believe. I believe if it did happen, it didn't happen to as many people that are coming out.
I don't believe it, and I'll tell you why. Because I keep calling Bill Cosby and telling him that I want to be a victim, and he won't return my call, and that's an issue. I know.
Wow.
You have the same issue. Every time I call, his inbox is full. So there's a lot of people who want to be victims, apparently.
I keep sending him my fucking headshot, and they're like deny. Like, come on, I want to be one. He won't do it. I'm gonna be great publicity for me.
I should
make a pudding commercial with them.
I don't know any woman that wants to be famous for crying rape, though. I mean, I'm looking at it the female perspective, so there's that end of it.
The other thing is, none of them are asking for money, which makes me think that I kind of do believe them then, you know? Like,
back in the day, nobody would have believed them. Things have changed a lot.
There's no incentive. Yeah, there's a part of me that's like, yeah, you know, maybe, I think maybe not all of them had this happen, but I think maybe a good portion of them had some kind of inappropriate interaction initiated by him.
Could be.
Okay, but with that said, though, let's talk about the sensitivity issue as well. If I'm standing next to Liz and she touches my ass, is that inappropriate action, or do I like it?
As long as we know each other.
I think it depends on your relationship.
I think it depends on perspective. You know, if I'm standing next to her and I accidentally, you know, bump a tit, like, you know, whoops, didn't mean to do that. And she
I'd laugh at you. I would laugh at you.
Now, what if I inappropriately touched you? What would you do? How would you take that?
I would scream bloody freaking murder.
More.
Like,
I'd hear you from the next room.
That's what most would fucking do. I caught the feeling. Scream. And
Well, Liz likes to hold the video camera, just, you know, FYI.
Oh, good.
So we got a cameraman in our midst. Well, Marty, let's do some shameless promoting here. Tell us all about you, where we can find you, where your shows are. Just go. This is your floor right now.
All right, here we go. I'm going to give you the rundown. Every Saturday night, I do the Not So Late Show, the talks that we've been talking about at New World Stages at 9:30 p.m. with Michael LaMassa, followed by hosting at The Ritz every Saturday night at 11:30 p.m. On Sundays, I host my own show, Untucked and Uncensored at The Ritz, with a Broadway guest and a drag performer guest. Every Sunday at 11 p.m., Mondays I'm at Boxers hosting RuPaul's Drag Race, Tuesdays I'm at Pieces, Wednesdays I'm at G-Lounge doing Drag Academy, where I and another drag guest put audience members into drag and have them perform. Thursdays I'm at Pieces, once a month on Fridays I'm in Philadelphia at Taboo with Bob the Drag Queen, once a month on Fridays I'm at Stonewall in the West Village, and you can see me on my YouTube channel, MGC Theater Company. You can buy my T-shirts on my Facebook page. You can buy my single Real Girl on iTunes. You can Venmo me contributions to my rent. Anything you want. That's where you can see me. That's where I'm at.
Oh, and you can also find him on Grindr too. What was your name again?
Liz.
Liz is on Tinder, so don't let her fool you.
Oh yeah, whatever. Whatever you say.
You like it?
Tinderbox? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't like Tinder. I feel like every time I go on Tinder, everybody just starts singing to the left, to the left. Oh well.
Well, thank you so much, Marty. We really appreciate your time today. And as you just got the rundown of everything he has, do you have any inspiring words for our Unleashed listeners today?
Just be yourself. Don't apologize for. Just be your fucking self. Who cares? You're perfect the way you are. Don't be a dick, but just be yourself.
Be yourself, but don't be a dick.
That's right.
Excellent.
Yeah. Excellent.
That was your Unleashed Quickie. Ooh. Visit our website, getunleashedproductions.com. Like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/getunleashed09. Follow us on Twitter at getunleashed09. Listen anytime you want on iTunes or Stitcher. Oh, for sure.